My guest at this time is Utah Republican Senator Mike Lee. He's a member of the Senate Judiciary Committee, and he also worked as an attorney for many years, both in private practice and as an assistant U.S. attorney. That means he argued cases before the 10th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, which of course includes Supreme Court nominee Judge Neil Gorsuch. He joins me now to discuss the Gorsuch pick and what kind of justice he thinks he would be. And Senator, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you. It's good to be with you.
Describe your experiences arguing cases before Judge Gorsuch at the 10th Circuit. How does he approach his job?
He's a tremendous judge. He's the kind of judge every lawyer wants to appear in front of him, because he's the kind of judge who, going into argument, has already read all the briefs, all the statutes, and all the cases cited in the briefs, and already formulated his own theory about what the central, most important theme of the case is. He helps lawyers get to the nub of the argument in the argument session, and in the process prepares himself to render the best decision possible. This is exactly the kind of judge we want and need on the Supreme Court.
So when it comes to oral arguments, it sounds like he's pretty engaged. We obviously know from the conservative side on the Supreme Court that Justice Scalia loved to engage, Justice Thomas a little more quiet on the bench. But how would you describe Gorsuch during the oral arguments?
He's engaged, and his questions are pointed. They're neither excessive nor doled out penuriously. He's very much active in the oral argument, but speaks appropriately, but no longer than necessary.
One of the things he said after being announced by President Trump on Tuesday night was that any judge who likes all of his decisions is probably a bad judge. What did you see from him in that light in the rulings that he handed down in your cases?
Well, it's a fantastic line, and it's a telltale sign of someone who is committed to textualism and originalism, these legal doctrines that came to typify and be associated with Justice Scalia and also Justice Alito, my former boss, as well as Justice Thomas. This is indicative of the type of careful approach that a judicial conservative takes when approaching a case. The approach is one that involves deciding what the law actually says, rather than achieving the outcome that the judge deems best. And that's really important. That's exactly what we want in the Supreme Court, because we want to get away from this modern tradition, this modern deviation that results in policymaking from the bench.
And so, as you mentioned, he said on Tuesday night that he believes and understands that it's the lawmaker's job to make the law, not his, on the bench. Did you ever detect any whiff of activism in his decisions?
No, not at all. It's important also to remember that judicial activism and judicial passivity are quite arguably equal in terms of the amount of harm they can cause in the judiciary. In other words, it's just as bad for a judge to act where no action is warranted under the law as it is for the judge to refuse to act where action is warranted. Judge Gorsuch gets that, and he gets that his job is to interpret the law and act where the law requires, and decline to do so where the law doesn't.
Of course, the nomination heads to the Senate now, and you are unique among your colleagues that you were on the list of possible Supreme Court nominees, and so you knew much more about the people who are also on the list and their strong credentials. Were you at all surprised that Gorsuch ended up rising to the top?
No, I wasn't. You know, when I first saw the list, which also included my brother, I saw Judge Gorsuch's name and quickly concluded that he could easily be the person who made it to the top of the list and ended up getting nominated, because he's that quality of a judge. He's that caliber of a judge. Even though he wasn't as well known as some of the others on the list, I knew that in time the president and the White House would reach the conclusion that this is someone they needed to take an especially close look at.
Let's talk about the Senate fight to come now. A little over 10 years ago, Gorsuch was confirmed for the appellate court by a voice vote, which means he had absolutely no opposition. Now a lot of the Democrats, some have already said they're going to oppose, some have already said they're going to try and filibuster. Their argument on that side of it is that, well, we've got 10 years of decisions now, so just because we didn't have a problem with them 10 years ago doesn't mean there aren't potentially serious problems now. What do you make of their approach on that argument?
First of all, I need to point out that just because you've got some Democrats who are opposing him or some Democrats saying they're going to filibuster, it's not at all clear that we couldn't get 60 votes to end debate, to break the filibuster, in which case he'd be easily confirmed. But even if we can't, we have tools at our disposal to make sure we get this nominee confirmed, and we intend to do so. For example, we have Rule 19. The so-called two-speech rule, once invoked, can give us a means of bringing debate to a close, even without 60 votes. And if we took that or other approaches available to us, we could still get this nominee confirmed.
We're talking with Utah Republican Senator Mike Lee. And, sir, the other issue that seems to come up a lot is that President Obama nominated Judge Garland last year. Republicans made the case that this was an election year. The next president should get to nominate the person who fills that seat. They call it a stolen seat, and therefore Judge Gorsuch deserves similar treatment that Judge Garland got. What do you make of them essentially seeing this in some ways as a revenge tactic?
Well, first of all, if they want to use this as an opportunity for revenge, that's their choice to do so. I would like to think, and I would certainly strongly prefer, that the Democrats would look for reasons not to obstruct, but look for reasons to agree, look for reasons to move forward and acknowledge that this election happened. Elections have consequences, and this particular election resulted in a president in the White House who was not Hillary Clinton. And resulted in a party in charge of the Senate, which is not the Democratic Party. In light of that, I would hope and expect that they'd want to work with us to review this nominee and to review his impressive judicial record and hopefully get him confirmed.
A couple quick questions before we let you go. You mentioned, Senator, just a moment ago that it's possible you could get to the 60-vote threshold. It's possible you could also keep the filibuster in place and go to the two-speech rule. So, do you think it's smart for the president to already be talking about the nuclear option? Senator McConnell certainly is shying away from that, at least in public statements.
Yeah. Look, I'm not going to tell the president how to do his job, I'm going to continue to focus on doing my job. For my purposes here in the Senate, it's best not to signal in advance what strategy we might deploy, especially in advance of the need to do so. Again, for all I know, we may well get 60 votes to end debate on this nominee, in which case there's no reason to even discuss the nuclear option.
And finally, sir, I don't need to tell you that just the confirmation process for the president's cabinet picks has been very tense. You've got Democrats boycotting various committee hearings, most of them voting against all of the president's nominees. So how ugly is this going to get when the stakes are so much higher with this confirmation process?
I hope it doesn't continue to be ugly. I hope it doesn't escalate. Look, I think a lot of people wanted to make their point. A lot of them have made their point. But I don't think it's productive for them to just skip out on hearings. If they continue to do that, it's going to be their loss because they're just going to be cheating themselves and their constituents out of their right to participate in this important process.
Well, we'll certainly be following along from what we hear. The confirmation hearings will be coming in a few weeks and then likely votes shortly after that. So, Senator, we'll be watching you and the Judiciary Committee as that process unfolds. And as always, thank you for your time today.
Thank you very much.
You bet, sir. Utah Republican Senator Mike Lee, member of the Senate Judiciary Committee, also argued cases before the 10th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals and Judge Gorsuch during his time as an assistant U.S. attorney. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.